Oh, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 today. We're in our series, sermon series, that I have identified as Worship, Warfare, and Witness. Today we're going to be learning about spirit, soul, and body. And this is part two of that message in this Worship, Warfare, and Witness series. Let's read the Word of God out loud together. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That'd be a good place for an amen. Now, by God's design, you'd need to know that we are a spirit. We are a spirit housed in a body and with a soul. Do you understand that? God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we need power in order to live a spirit-led life. And that power of living a spirit-led life will mature our soul, and it will teach us how to discipline our body. Amen? In order to do that, there are some things we need to learn about spirit, soul, and body. The first thing that I remind you of today is that our spirit is saved immediately. Say, your spirit can be saved immediately. In Genesis 1:27, the Word of the Lord says, God created man in his own what? In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. How many of you know that masculine is not more godly than feminine? And feminine is not more ungodly than masculine. When God created man and woman, he created them with masculinity and femininity. And the feminine characteristics, whether they're in a man or a woman, are really a part of God's original design. But somehow or another, we have thought a way to bring a curse on masculinity and femininity. That's another sermon for another day. But what I want you to think about with me now is, your Bible says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. What kind of an image did God create man with when he created him in his image? Now, we're not talking about color of hair. We're not talking about color of eyes. We're not talking about skin tone. We're talking about something even beyond that. Adam and Eve were created as spiritual beings with characteristics similar to their Father God. Amen? Amen? So if God is spirit and he created man in his own image, then he created man to be a spiritual being. Amen? Amen. And so one of the things that you have to come to learn is that God created us to be spiritual beings. Now, after they were created, God breathed into them, and they became spiritual beings. Your Bible says in Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Somebody say, amen. Amen. Now, the Hebrew word used for breath is the same. It's the same word used in other places for spirit. So God brought them to life with his own breath or by his own spirit. And since God is spirit and we're created to worship God and enjoy him forever, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Here's the problem. When you were born, thanks to your ancestor, Adam and Eve, you were born dead spiritually. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, "And you were what? Dead in your trespasses and sins," even when we were dead in our transgressions. When you were born, Your spirit was dead. It had no life. It had no connection with God. A disconnect happened in the day that Adam and Eve transgressed the boundary of God. And they died immediately spiritually. And immediately they had no relationship with God. They had no fellowship with God. And they became just as you were born and as I was born, dead spiritually. But oh my goodness, God does something for us. God does something for us in that he knew the choice that Adam would make. He knew the provision that we would need. So even before he ever formed the world, before ever the foundations of the earth were laid, he had already entered into an eternal covenant with his son Jesus Christ to redeem mankind and give you the power to be born again spiritually. Ephesians 2:1 says, you were dead, but then you were made alive together with Christ. Amen? Now that's something that happens immediately. I'm talking to some people today. There's some people that are hearing my voice today that you remember where you were and when it was that you were presented with the claims of Christ. When you heard the good news of his death, his burial and resurrection as being the provision for the forgiveness of your sin. And you remember where you were and when it was that the claims of Christ were presented to you. And you realized that God loved you just like you were. That if you repented of your sin and placed your faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, that he would save you. And what being saved means is he brings your spirit alive. Amen. And where that was, it happened immediately. Amen. And you didn't have to go through a class. You didn't have to go through a confirmation. That when God's grace met your faith and the power of the blood of Jesus, it forgave your sins and it made you alive in Christ. Hallelujah. And now you are connected with him and he lives in your spirit. Now, look what it says in John chapter 4. It says, God is what? And those who worship him must worship him in what? Oh, my goodness. You see, when you have a dead spirit, and I'm talking to some people today that your spirit is dead, the best you can be is religious. And that's because that God created you in his image, and you know that there's a creator. And even in the deadness of your spirit, it knows that there's a creator that somehow or another is responsible for everything that is. But you've got a problem. You don't have a connection with God spirit to spirit. That's why church can be boring to you. That's why the Bible can be a mystery book to you. That's why, because these things are spiritually discerned. And when your spirit is alive, then you are connecting with God, and God is connecting with you. You are communicating with God, and God is communicating with you. You are fellowshipping with God, and God is fellowshipping with you. And what happens is, when your spirit is alive, then you worship God, and the only way that God can be worshipped is in spirit, and spirit to spirit. And God comes to live in you to do that, and that's something that happens immediately. I remember where it was for me. It was in Hickson, Tennessee. It was October 21st. It was 1980. It was a Tuesday night, and oh my goodness, when I walked down that aisle, I took the preacher by the hand, and I told him that I was a counterfeit, that I wanted to be the real thing. He asked me if I was a sinner, and I acknowledged that I was a sinner. And right there, I repented of my sin, and I took Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And the Spirit of God came inside of me, and my spirit came alive, and I worshiped him for the first time, and it happened immediately. My goodness, if you were on a plane at 32,000 feet, and they told you that thing was going down, and you had never been saved or born again, aren't you glad that your spirit could be saved immediately? Aren't you glad you wouldn't have to get out of that plane and go to a class? Aren't you glad you wouldn't have to get on that plane and get through the waters of baptism? Aren't you glad that you got a God that saves immediately? And when he saves immediately, he saves permanently. Oh, hallelujah. Well, if our spirit is saved immediately, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that we have a soul. We have a soul. And Galatians chapter 5 verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit. Oh, can somebody say yes? You see, when you get saved by the Spirit, then your spirit begins to commune with God's Spirit. And God's Spirit begins to commune with your spirit, and your spirit wants to walk with God. Your spirit wants to talk with God. Your spirit wants to run with God. Your spirit wants to worship God. But you got a problem. You got something that's trying to keep you from walking in the Spirit. You got something that wants to keep you from talking in the Spirit. You've got something that wants to keep you from worshiping in the Spirit. And we've got to come in touch with that. Amen? And our spirit is saved immediately. If I'm talking to anybody today that you've never been saved, I've got good news for you. You can be saved immediately, and it will be eternally. But let me show you what happens after you get saved immediately. Our soul is saved continually. You see, your soul is different than your spirit. Your soul consists of your mind, your emotions, and your will. All right? Now, let me show you a truth about your Bible is going to teach us about two great truths today from the Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, your Bible says, for by one offering, he has, what's that next word? Woo, say glory to God. For by one offering, what was that offering? That was the offering of Jesus. That was the offering of Jesus' death. That was his burial and his resurrection. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are, what's that word after are? Being what? Sanctified. Now you got two great doctrines in that one verse right there, and I want to talk to you about them. The doctrine of justification and the doctrine of sanctification. Tell your neighbor, justification is not the same as sanctification. When your spirit is saved immediately, that's justification. Now your soul is being saved continually. That's sanctification. By one offering, God started the same transaction on your spirit and soul. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are what? Being sanctified. Look at the Apostle Paul. He says the same thing a little bit differently in 1 Corinthians. For the word of the cross, the message of the cross, is foolish. Those who are perishing. Am I fading in and out? Let's go this route right here, okay? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, that's why you can talk to somebody with a dead spirit and they could care less about heaven or hell. They could care less about God. They could care less about church. They could care less about the Bible. They could care less about truth because their dead spirit can't comprehend something like that. But for those to us who are what? Being saved. Now we are perfected forever through justification when we are saved, when our spirit is saved. But God begins immediately a process of sanctifying our soul. Can somebody say, teach me? Oh my goodness. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1 it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, justification is something that happens instantly. When we are justified by God, what that means is it's a legal standing before God. What God has done is he has looked at your sin account. He's looked at your sin account and he has looked at the blood of Jesus. You've looked at your sin account and you've looked at the blood of Jesus. And you've determined that you don't have enough to pay for your sin account. But what you have come to conclude is that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all of my sin. And so then you say, all right, I want the blood of Jesus to pay for all of my sin. And when you repent of your sin and you place your faith in Jesus, God justifies you. That means to declare you not guilty. You were guilty. And it's not a matter of you having a slick lawyer. It's not a matter of somebody messing up in the process. It's a matter of God saying that I am satisfied with the blood of Jesus. Now I am satisfied with the sins that you have put under the blood of Jesus. Now when I look at you, I look at you justified. I look at you just as if I'd never sinned. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All of your sins become justified. Just as if I'd never sinned at all. But the truth is, you had sinned. You do sin, and you will sin, but they've all been justified. They've all been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Oh, give him praise and honor for justification. But here's the problem. I said in the beginning that you are a spirit, and your spirit, as a spirit, you are housed in a body, and you have a soul. All right. Now your soul, it consists of your mind, which means what you think. Your soul consists of your emotion, what you feel. And now here's the bad boy in all of that. It's your will. It's what you choose. Now, here's the problem. Long before your spirit was made alive, your soul was in charge. Your soul represents yourself. It gives you your self-consciousness. And because you have this innate desire to be religious, your soul learns to think and learns to feel, and learns to choose in a way that'll help you survive. But it has nothing to do with the thoughts of God, with the will of God. And guess what? Your soul likes being in charge. Every single one of us are born strong-willed. Just some of us perfect it more. Everybody has a self-will, and that makes you selfish. It makes you self-centered. It makes you like sin. How many of you know, and all of you do, but how many of you would confess with me that sin can be pleasurable? Yeah. I mean, sin is pleasure. That's what your Bible says. Your Bible says about a man named Moses that he chose. There came a time when he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, sin is pleasurable, but it's always got its season. And what your soul does is your soul learns to enjoy its sin. There's some sins that your soul don't mind being paraded openly. But there are other sins that your soul wants to preserve and it wants to be secret. And your soul will work against your spirit. And so, since your soul has seniority, you think more naturally with your soulish mind than you do with your heavenly spirit. Now, depending on how long you've been born again, that's how much seniority your soul has on your spirit. That means that even when you get saved, you don't know how to think godly thoughts. You don't know how to feel godly feelings. You don't know how to choose godly things. That's why you're being sanctified. That's why your soul is being changed continually. And that's a process. Justification happens instantly.
But sanctification is an ongoing process. Let me say it to you this way. You can be sanctified when you come in here, and if you don't make right choice when you leave here, you just blew it. You get to start all over. How many have you can be in church and you can think good thoughts, you can feel good feelings, and you can make good choices, but oh my goodness, when you get out there in that world, you got the same spirit. You got the same mind, but when you got different choices, you're going to determine which one you're going to be dominated by. Amen. Let me show you an illustration that we learned in a great ministry here called Cleansing Streams. It's going to be made available to everybody. Let me show you the illustration. Do we have that available there? God's work. We're going to look first of all at justification. Where does that happen? Spirit, in your spirit, all right. And how does it happen? Instantly, all right. And what takes place? That's the exchanged life. Your sinful life for God's perfect life. And so your sin is exchanged for His righteousness. And your sin that had a debt was paid by His righteousness, and that gets deposited into your account, all right. Now, let's look at God's other work of sanctification. For remember, we're being perfected forever. That's the justification by one offering. And for those who are being sanctified, all right, where does the sanctification take place? It takes place in your soul. Your spirit don't need to be sanctified. It's 100% sanctified. But your soul has to be, and it's an ongoing process. Every day, every hour, every minute, every choice, every circumstance, everything, your mind, it said, oh my goodness, we had so much fun before that spirit fella came in here. Oh my goodness, life was so easy. We had no tension. We had no friction. We had no warfare going on until that spirit fella came here. Why don't you just tell him to shut up? Why don't you just tell him, don't feed him. Don't feed him. He'll starve. He'll go away. But how many of you know that your soul will lie to you? And your mind will deceive you. And your heart's the most deceitful thing you got. And oh my goodness, and your will just does not want to cooperate with the Spirit's will. Now, what's the cooperation? You must cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is says, you know, the way you used to think, it's not good to think like that anymore. You know the way that you used to feel about folk? You ought not to feel that way about folk anymore. And you know the way that you all used to choose? You ought not to choose those things before. You know, before the Spirit came alive in me, you know, I could drink some alcoholic beverages and not have any battle other than the next day. Yeah. And you before that spirit came alive in you, you know, you could smoke things and not have any tension. You know, before that spirit fella came around, you know, you could say things and you could steal things and you could be dishonest and not problems at all. But oh my goodness, when that spirit man came alive, that spirit man shake his head on you. Said, we don't like that. That's not good for us. That's not going to help us. And then so you got the battle going on. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are what? Being sanctified. I got some good news for you. You have been justified by the blood of Jesus. I've got some good news for you. You are being sanctified. I can look at you and I can tell you that you're not the rascal that you used to be. I can look at you and you don't have the same testimony that you used to have. Now I can look at you and tell that you can still do some of that same rascally stuff that you used to. You can look at me, and if you can't look at me, tell you can talk to my wife. He can still be a rascal. you know, from time to times. But I want to tell you, praise God, that what he has justified, he is committed to sanctifying. And he has predetermined, he has predestined before the foundation of the world that that which he justifies, he's going to make just like Jesus one day. Amen? And it's through the one offering, the blood of Jesus Christ, we are being sanctified. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You see, our spirit is saved immediately. Our soul is being saved continually. But number three, look at this one here. Our body will be saved eventually. Woo, glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, now I say it this way. Brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that's why we got to die. That's why God's got to take our spirit out of this house. How many of you know that you just have to change houses? There's some times when God says you can't live in that house anymore. And what God does when your spirit can't live in that earth house that he put it in, that's called heaven. God's going to take you out of this earth, and he's going to take you on to heaven. You know, one of our beloved members left his earth suit this week. Charlie. Charlie Blackburn. If you don't know him by name, he would usher back there. Had a little gray beard. 80 years old. This week, God said, you can't live in that earth suit anymore. He went to bed. Went to sleep. And God said, let's come on in to my house now. Why? Because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does this perishable inherit the imperishable. Aren't you glad that the pains that you have in this body aren't going to carry over with you to the other side? Oh, my goodness. Aren't you glad that the knees that wear out, the ankles that swell up, you know, the back that goes out, you know, the head that aches, and all of the body parts that fail and dysfunction, aren't you glad that they're just temporary? Oh, my goodness, every time one aches, just say, you're just getting ready to release my spirit one day. My spirit's just getting ready to rapture out of here. And for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Look at what he says in Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is where? Oh, my goodness, we got to know that. Your mind don't want you to know that. Your emotions don't want you to know that. Your will don't want you to choose like that. Remind you that, man, this earth is not our home. I'm a pilgrim here. I'm a stranger here. I don't want to be made at home here. I want to know by the life that I live, by the service that I give, that I don't belong here. I belong somewhere else. I'm not destined for here. I'm not destined for down there. I'm destined for up there. And my citizenship is not here. It's over there. So our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly, have him say, I'm eagerly waiting. I'm eagerly waiting for a Savior. Now, what Savior? I want to tell you, Buddha is not the Savior. Muhammad is not the Savior. I want to tell you, the government is not the Savior. The Savior is the Lord, Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins, the one who justified you in your sins, the one who's sanctifying you by his offering. That is the one we eagerly wait for right here. And he is going to do something. He is going to transform our humble state into conformity with the what? With the body of his what? That's another way of saying that the body that he's got in glory is going to resemble the body you're going to have in glory. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be made just like him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. He's going to transform our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. How's he going to do that? Look at this. By the exertion of the power that he has. Say, he's got the power. He's got the power to transform me. He's got the power to sanctify me. He's got the power to justify me. He's got the power to transform me into his likeness. And to subject all things to himself. Oh, my goodness, we got the mockers, and we got the scoffers, and we've got the infidels, and we've got all of the blasphemers out there. But I want to tell you, one day, they're all going to be brought into subjection. They're all going to be brought into submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that every dignitary, every king, every potentate, every citizen, every person is going to bow the knee and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen? And guess what? The spirit that was saved immediately, the soul that's being saved continually, your body will be saved eventually. God's going to take the body that he's given you, and by his power, he's going to call it back from wherever it deteriorated to. If you cremate it, he's going to gather your ashes. If the worms ate it, he's going to cause the worms to deliver them up. If they have been cast into the ocean, he's going to call the ocean and the seas to bring them together. And he's going to miraculously, by the exertion of his power, is going to bring them together. And you're going to have a reunion in glory between your body and your spirit. Amen? And you're going to have a glorified body like the body of Jesus. And you're going to serve him and worship him and honor him and rejoice with him forever and forever and forever. Amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right. Now let's look at this and summarizing this for us. Our body before salvation. Look at this. Your spirit was dead because of sin. But after salvation, your spirit was alive through the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, the question before us today is your spirit dead today, or is your spirit alive today? Now, it can only be alive by the new birth. It can only be alive by the grace of God. It can only be alive by the power of God. It can only be alive by a choice that you make with your mind, with your emotions, and with your will to be born again. That's what it means. And what God does is supernaturally, internally, he makes your spirit alive, and your spirit is where you fellowship with God. Your spirit is where God comes to dwell. Your spirit is where you're led by his spirit. Amen? All right. Now your soul. Before salvation, your soul was self focused. After salvation, your soul must learn to submit to God, because your soul was in charge and your soul don't like to be told what to do. But every day, every choice, you must choose to let your soul be sanctified and to submit to God in his ways. That's why your Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Then you can present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. All right, now look at your body. Your body, before salvation, was undisciplined. But after salvation, your body must learn to be disciplined. Why is that? Your body has five factors that makes it a good companion with your soul. Your soul remembers your mind, your emotions, and your will. Well, guess what? Your body has five factors that have been built in from creation that makes your soul want to partner with your body. That is the way that you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, and what you feel. And guess what? Your body knows no restraints. Your body wants everything it sees, everything it hears, everything it tastes, everything that it feels. Your body's saying, yes, 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 yes. And your mind, when it's unsanctified, said, okay. And guess what? Your body and your soul get you into more trouble than your mama can get you out of. All right. All of us, we can learn this lesson from the traffic light. Every time you see a traffic light, I want God to speak to you. All right? Every time you see this traffic light, the red light, the yellow light, and the green light. The red light will represent your spirit. The yellow light will represent your soul. And the green light will represent your body. Now, your body is sitting on green. It's saying, go, 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 go. The people that make the commercials, they know that your body is sitting on G waiting on O. They know that whatever your body sees, your soul is going to say, yes, we can have that. Oh, my goodness, you deserve a break today. So get up and get away. Oh, the Michelob life, it don't get any better than that. And your body saying, no, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a little malt liquor along the way. So your green light represents your body, and it's saying, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Now your soul is represented by the yellow light, and it will at least say a word of caution to your body. It'll say, hey, now let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about this in a minute. Because your soul don't want to be in submission to your body. Your soul wants to be in charge. And so your soul's not trying to get you to do any favor. It's trying to get you to be disciplined to your soul, the way that you think, to feel, and to choose. And the soul's saying, wait a minute, body. I hadn't chosen that for us yet. And so every time you see something, you hear something, you taste something, you touch something, you feel something, you smell something, your soul's saying, let's think about that. Is that a good thing for us? Is that a bad thing for us? And your soul's not going to tell you the truth. The soul's going to tell you what will make you unholy, make you unhealthy, make you unhappy. But the red light, now the red light is your spirit. The red light saying, even if it looks good, even if it smells good, even if it tastes good, even if it feels good, you got to find out if that's what God wants for you to have. Okay? You see, what your spirit's trying to teach you is that God is not trying to keep something from you. He's trying to protect something for you. What the spirit is trying to teach you is that if God says no to something, God's saying, I've got something better than that for you. God's saying, don't live beneath your privileges with that. Don't mess your life up with that. What the Spirit is going to say to you is, I've got life for you. I've got fullness for you. I've got blessing for you. I've got joy for you. I've got eternity for you. And I'm going to ask you to say no to some things in order that you can say yes to some other things. So what we've got to learn to do is we've got to learn to let our spirit be our red light. No matter what it is, no matter how it feels, no matter how it sounds, we've got to put our soul and our body on red light. Saying, we might even have that, but only if God says, go get it. Because if we're asking God for something, he can say, yes, you can have that, or here's God's other answer. I've got something better than that. God said, yes, you can have that, or God said, I've got something better than that for you. Sometimes we think of God's a no God. But God's not a no God. God's a go God, but you got to go for what God wants for you. And so are you living by the yellow light? Are you living by the green light? Or are you living by the red light? Oh, my goodness. And when you've got the red light and your spirit and you're learning to walk by the what? Spirit. And not by the what? Flesh, not by the soul of the flesh, because these are opposite one another. These are in conflict with one another. Amen? Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of your soul. Listen to this. Galatians 5:17, For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. How many of you got a brother or a sister? You got sons and daughters. They can represent the soul and the spirit, okay? How many of you know that your brothers and your sisters fight with one another? Your sons and your daughters, they fight with one another. Your sons and your sons, they fight with one another. But every now and then, they will protect one another. But they had to be taught to do that. They had to be disciplined to do that. Well, you are the spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. And you've got to get your body and your soul to pay attention to your spirit. And that is a process that's ongoing, decision by decision, moment by moment, choice by choice. So when you leave here today and you see a red light, I want you to think, what's the Spirit saying to me right now? You know, it's confession time. You know, when I sit at this red light out here and I'm in that turn lane, that green light's green over there for a long time. Way too long. And you know what my soul says to me? You can go too. I'm going to confess to you. There are times when I go too. You know what's going on? I'm looking around, first of all. Is the man anywhere around here? Is the man anywhere around here? And it hadn't started counting down yet. I'm thankful for the countdown on the crosswalks. When that white stick man is up there, he stays up there a long time. And so then my soul and my body say, go, let's go. And there have been times that I've gone. You know, I was in another turn lane, and I could have gone 50 yards down and turned at a legal light. And I went ahead and turned, and I was going to work out in the gym. But it was one of those, I had an arrow that said you could turn, this is a turn lane, but the median was one that says this is not a turn lane here. So I said, hey, I think the engineers just messed it up. I'm going to go with an arrow that says this is a turn lane. So I turn right there, and guess what? Not behind me now, but in front of me, there was the man. And he already had his blue lights going as soon as I came across there. And he wanted some of my revenue. But you know what? Just before I turned, my red light said, don't do this. Just go down there to the light. It's just 50 yards. But your soul and your body saying, no, we don't have to do that. You don't always get the man waiting on you right there, but you've just sown a seed that one day the harvest is coming. You're going to be a servant to whichever one of these you yield to. And which one do you want to be a servant to? The one that justifies you, the one that sanctifies you, the one that will glorify you. Or do you want to be a servant to the one who enslaves you and makes your life miserable and has consequences that your mind has never told you about and your body has never felt before? So how do you do this? We need power. Jesus said you need power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, your spirit is alive, and God dwells in your spirit. But God wants to come, and he wants to baptize your spirit. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is not an amount. It's not like your gas tank. Well, I'm 3/4 full, so I can go a long ways on 3/4. It's not like a half a tank. It's not like a quarter a tank. Being filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by. And you can only be controlled by the Spirit when you are surrendered to the Spirit. And so who are you controlled by today? Are you controlled by the Spirit? Or are you controlled by the flesh? But be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you are, there will be abundance evidence coming out of your mouth, coming out of your spirit, and coming out of your choices. Amen? So I wonder if there's anybody here today that as I've been talking, the Spirit of God has convinced you your spirit is dead. You've never been alive, but you would understand that God's willing to make your spirit alive today. That means being saved. That means being born again. It doesn't mean being religious. You can be religious and be baptized until every tadpole in the creek knows you by name. But that doesn't make your spirit alive. Your spirit only comes alive when by grace through faith you submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ, trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection. If you've never had your spirit made alive, if you've never been saved, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stand and come and tell me right here, I want my spirit to be alive. I want to be born again today. But if your spirit is alive, are you willing to come today and say, God, I want you to help me to remember the red light, the yellow light, the green light? I want to listen to the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want my spirit to bear witness with your spirit, and I want your spirit to bear witness with my spirit that I am your child, and I want to be led by the Spirit. I want you to come and meet me down here as well and say, I want to be led by the Spirit from this day forward. If your mind and your emotions have been ganging up on you with your body to make choices that have been healthy and that haven't been holy, that won't ever make you happy, would you be willing to come and say, I don't want my body and I don't want my soul to be in charge of my life anymore. Just because it looks good, just because it feels good, just because it smells good, tastes good, it doesn't mean it is good. I want to learn to ask God's Spirit to tell me whether it's good for me or not. I want you to come. Father, thank you for these words and thank you for this time. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, Lord God, to make those alive by your power that are ready. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.